Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, our contact information via the mail is Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also access us on the web at equip.org and via our resource consultants, that number 888-7000 and the letter CRI. First up today, Marjorie, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Marjorie.
Hi, Mr. Hanegraaff. I've been listening for more than 5 years to your program. I really enjoy it.
Thank you.
And I have a comment before what I really called in for.
Yes.
David Jeremiah emphatically teaches pre-tribulation rapture, mm-hmm. and he says it's very clear in the Bible. Are you familiar with him?
I am very familiar with him, and I would just respectfully disagree with him, and I would ask the question, where is it so clear in the Bible?
Well,
and why is it that for 19 centuries no one in the church ever saw it? Where is this notion of a secret coming, and then a seven-year tribulation, and then a second coming, and then people being saved after the second coming, and then a thousand-year semi-golden age with rebuilt temple and reinstituted temple sacrifices, which, by the way, are said to atone for sin. And if that is true, how can we then say that Christ's atonement on the cross atoned for all sins?
When I listened to him, he read the scripture during his service, and he said it's as plain as it could be.
Which scripture?
I didn't write it down.
Well, again, I'm waiting to find that scripture myself because I'm wholly willing to be convinced by the evidence. Now, I studied this subject for almost 20 years before I spoke out on the subject.
Mm-hmm.
I started that study a long time before I even became president of the Christian Research Institute. So I spent a lot of time with this, and I still have to find the compelling passages that people talk about. People oftentimes talk about 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but that in context is a great and glorious passage, not about a pre-tribulational rapture, but the hope of resurrection. Or Tim LaHaye, who is one of the teachers that you hear speak about this most, says that you can find all the evidence in John chapter 14. So you go to John chapter 14 and you say, where in the world is the evidence there for a pre-tribulational rapture?
Well, maybe you and he should have a debate.
Well, maybe so.
Well, what I really called about was the Presbyterian Church.
Now, yes.
Did you at any time ever say that they were a cult?
No, I don't believe I ever said that they were a cult, nor would I say that they were a cult. Now, certainly there are within certain categories of Presbyterian religion, there are those that deny the supernatural. They deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They deny the virgin birth. You can file very liberal strains within the PCUSA, for example. But you can find that in a lot of mainline Protestant denominations. But I wouldn't call them a cult.
Okay. So I didn't know what you said, but I was not aware of what you said they believe.
Well, there are some wonderful Presbyterian denominations, like the PCA, for example, the Presbyterian Church in America. So I think that anybody that would use that language with respect to the Presbyterian Church probably doesn't know what they're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and I certainly would decry the liberalism that has encroached upon huge segments of the Presbyterian Church. But that would also be true, as I said, in many other strains of Christianity. And what we need to do is be able to demonstrate to the watching world that those who deny the supernatural simply deny the authority of Scripture. The Bible makes plain that the supernatural is not only plausible, but it is part and parcel of the Christian worldview. We as Christians are open-minded. We allow for both natural and supernatural explanations for that which we encounter in the universe.
Okay, I agree with you fully, and I was not aware of that. So you answered my question.
Well, it's my pleasure to do so. God bless you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Sharon. Sharon is listening in Spokane, Washington. Hi, Sharon.
Hi. Well, I wrote my question down, and then I've been wandering around doing things, so now I can't find it. But anyway, I know what it is.
As long as you don't lose your mind, I do that from time to time.
Oh, I do that, too. And I've been listening to your show for, oh, gosh, over 10 years, off and on. But I wanted to ask you, since the rapture is such a controversial subject, and I thank you so much for your book, The Apocalypse Code, because I have read it, and I plan to read it again. Do you suggest bringing it up at all? And if so, what is a good way to make somebody think about the fact that they've just accepted this view without really doing their own research?
Yeah, well, I think it's important that if the subject does come up, we recognize it for what it is. It is a secondary issue that we can debate vigorously, but ultimately we don't have to divide over. But I think it's important for us to recognize that sometimes great and glorious passages of Scripture have, as it were, been stolen, when in reality they refer to the glorious hope of resurrection. They have now been co-opted for this notion of a pre-tribulational rapture, and I think, again, paramount among those passages is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where Paul says, brothers, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. It is in prologue here, very clearly about resurrection. It is not about a pre-tribulational rapture. That's a notion that is imposed on the passage, not something that you would glean from the passage.
Right. Well, I totally agree with you, and it's kind of depressing to think about Christ coming back, taking those that are dead, turning around and going back, and then all the Jews dying in the next 7 years. That's just totally crazy. But,
yeah, and there's no warrant to think that Jews are going to be killed in the 21st century for what Jews did in the first century.
Right, right. Well, it's just interesting that so many people believe it and just accept it and don't bother to look into it. So, all right, well, thank you. Is there any, like, one, should I just use 1 Thessalonians 4? Would that be the best one to send them to read?
Well, I think what's important is to help people through this passage and just ask the operative questions. Where do you see Jesus reversing directions and taking people to heaven for 7 years? Is that something we're imposing on the passage or something that we're actually exegeting from the passage? Remember that eisegesis is very different than exegesis. Eisegesis is reading a preconceived notion into the passage. Exegesis is reading the passage or deriving from the passage what the Holy Spirit has placed there. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Christy next, listening in Kansas. Hi, Christy.
I've been listening to you since about 2002, and I have really, you've really shown life through your word, through the word of Christ, and I really appreciate this. I can't even begin to tell you. I have a question about the baby Moses when he was in the bulrushes and Pharaoh's daughter took the baby and raised him as her own son. Do you feel that she's with the Lord now?
Well, it might very well be that she is one of those that left with the company of believers that left Egypt in the Exodus, because we do know that it was not just the Jews that left Egypt, but also many of the Egyptians that came with them, because they believed in Yahweh, the God of Israel. They saw his mighty miracles in the land of Egypt, and so they left, and they joined those who were faithful to Yahweh, the God of Israel. They knew that God would protect them, and they knew ultimately that Israel was called to be a light to the nations, and they wanted to join that company. And it may very well be again, although the Bible doesn't tell us, and we don't know from history, that the daughter of Pharaoh might have been one of those who believed herself. But again, that's speculation, we don't know, but it certainly is possible, and there certainly were Egyptians that left with the Jews in the Exodus. Gonna leave it at that.
We are coming up to a station break. Back in just a few moments. In the meantime, check out the web at equip.org. Be right back.
In The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien's character Faramir voices the thoughts of countless soldiers throughout history. War must be, while we defend our lives against a destroyer who would devour all. But I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend. If you too love what together we defend, our faith, biblical truth, and our freedoms, become a member of CRI's support team today by calling 888-7000-CRI. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's 888-7000-CRI, or simply visit our website at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after the break. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right back to the phone calls. Next up is Robert listening in California. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Hank. I'm a relatively new listener, but I've gleaned so much, I still am. Thank you so much. I just wish I was a younger man.
How old are you?
I'm in my 60s.
I wish I was a younger man, too.
Only that I... You know what I mean, in with reference to studying Scripture and,
yes,
and to coming closer to God and having a relationship with Him.
Well, you got lots of time left. You know, I mean, in the normal course of things, we have, you know, 80 years, and if by reason of strength, 80 years, so that's 80 years. You know, obviously, the lifespans are different of people, but on average, we still have a good amount of time to devote ourselves to the study of Scripture.
Well, I sure hope to do that. And I'm going to have to go to equip.org because it's overwhelming how many resources there are. You know, the Koboris manuscript, about 1,600 years ago, a scribe wrote most of the book of John and Matthew, the New Testament, in Aramaic. And, of course, it was subsequently translated, finally presented to President Eisenhower, and then put placed in the Library of Congress. But my question is, there were many scribes, are there not?
Yeah, there certainly were.
And how did we or those who were empowered to do so choose which scribes they thought? Probably because when I read this, it's very close to the Bibles that I have read. How were they chosen, or do we not even know that?
Well, here's the issue. The issue is not choosing. What you have is the autographas, which are penned in close proximity to the people, places, and particulars that they chronicle. And then what happens is those autographs or the originals are quickly copied and they're distributed. And that is so no ecclesiastical authority can control this process whatsoever. So what we have is, in the Greek, almost 6,000 copies that have come to light. But there are many more, as you allude to. There are 10,000 in Latin, and there are many others in Slavic and Ethiopian and Armenian and so forth. And even, as you point out, there are those that are in Aramaic. So what you have is lots of copies and then a science called the science of textual criticism. And what happens is the textual critics that compare the copies, they all have mistakes, but they don't all have the same mistakes. And therefore, out of this science of textual criticism, the autograph emerges unscathed. So we can trust that what we have today is a virtual recapitulation of what was contained in the autograph. So through the tenacity of the text, the autograph remains.
Okay, thank you. One more question real quick. You're familiar with Roy Masters, professes to be Jewish but converted to Christianity, and he speaks about separating the self through something he says is not hypnotism, in order to deal with and understand Scripture. Do you generally feel that his message is correct?
Well, I don't think it is, because he does claim to be a Christian, but a mystical Christian. But the problem is he rejects the central message of Christianity, including Christ's death on the cross as atonement for the sins of humankind. So in essence, he relies on meditation and a mix of pseudo-Christian practices to get this amalgamation of syncretistic religious concepts. So a little bit here, a little bit there, and he comes up with his own brand of Christianity. But in the process, he ends up denying the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And by the way, I want to mention something before we go to our next caller, and that is the wisdom of God. And this is in response to Robert as well. The wisdom of God is evident through the way he protected the text from the one thing we centuries, even millennia later, could never detect, and that is wholesale change of doctrine or theology by a particular man or a group who had full control over the text at any given point in history. But instead, what God did is see to it that the New Testament books were written at various times. They're quickly copied, quickly distributed as soon as they were written. And so there was never a time when anyone or any group could gather up all the manuscripts and make extensive changes in the text, such as cutting out the deity of Jesus Christ or inserting some foreign doctrine or concept. By the time anyone gained ecclesiastical power in the name of Christ, these important texts were already buried in the sands of time, out of reach of any attempted alteration. So if we had an identifiable autograph, what would we do? The material, the paper, the ink would likely replace God as the object of our worship, and the rancor of control would be unimaginable. But instead, the autographs are forever immortalized within a supernaturally preserved corpus of manuscripts. Instead of having less than the autographs, therefore, we have far more a treasure trove of manuscripts by which the autograph emerges unscathed. I've written about this in my book, Has God Spoken? That book available, you can check it out on the web at equip.org. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Vicki in Victoria, British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Vicki.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you.
My question is, what point in time is the world in correlation to the book of Revelation?
Well, the book of Revelation speaks about something that will soon take place, right? That's precisely what Revelation starts out saying, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. So it's talking about what is going to happen in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. And John is writing to the seven churches in the province of Asia. And he's telling those churches and the people within those churches, of course, to be faithful and fruitful. They're going to suffer for a short time, but their vindication will be an eternal vindication. Everything that John writes to the seven churches in the province of Asia, and of course this is ultimately the word of Jesus to the seven churches in the province of Asia, apply to us in the 21st century. But Revelation wasn't written to us. It was written for us. It was written to seven churches in the province of Asia. Now, obviously, just as all of this applies to us, not only in terms of admonition and exhortation and equipping, it also applies to us in that John in the vision sees a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And we are to look to that same certain hope as well, that God himself will dwell with men, that he will wipe every tear from their eyes, that the old order of things will pass away and all things will become new. But we cannot correlate the modern epic with what's going on in the book of Revelation because Revelation was written to a first century audience, just as Romans was. Now, Romans applies to us, but it certainly wasn't written to us. It was written to the people in Rome.
Right. So you're saying it's what will happen. We cannot find out where in the world we are in conjunction with the book of Revelation.
Well, Revelation isn't dealing with our epic of time. It's dealing with a first century epic, but it does promise us that something is going to happen in our future, which is that Jesus Christ will return.
Yes.
And that the universe will be restored. It now groans in travail, but it will be liberated from its bondage to decay. And God himself will one day be with us. Jesus will reappear, and that heaven and earth will be conjoined, and we will live in a new heaven and earth where indwells righteousness. And so you have this beautiful portrayal at the end of the book of Revelation of the holy city. And he says, I did not see a temple in that city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, all of that is something yet future to us, and we're looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth. But when that will occur, Revelation gives us no clue, nor does the rest of the Bible. What the Bible tells us is to be faithful, to be fruitful. We'll suffer for a short time as we take up our cross and daily follow of Christ, but our vindication will be an everlasting vindication.
Thank you.
Bless you, Vicki. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, you can access us via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, on the web at equip.org. And when you talk to our resource consultants, that number 888-7000 CRI. Thanks again for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.